we've been occupied this afternoon with a time that prophets were looking to, and which was not for them. And I would like to read a chapter which is given to us, but which is not for us. It's in Revelation chapter 11. And Revelation chapter 11, and there was given to me a reed like a staff, saying, "Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship in it." And the court which is without the temple, cast out, measure it not, because it has been given up to the nations, and the holy city shall there tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two lamps which stand before the Lord of the earth. And if anyone wills to injure them, fire goes out of their mouth and devour their enemies. And if anyone wills to injure them, thus must he be killed. These have power to shut the heaven, that no rain may fall during the days of their prophecy. They have power over the waters to turn them into blood, and to smite the earth as often as they will with every plague. And when they shall have completed their testimony, the beast who comes up out of the abyss shall make war with them, and shall conquer them, and shall kill them. And their body shall be on the street of the great city, which is called spiritually Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. And men of the people, and tribes, and tongue, and nations, see their body 3 days and a half, and they do not suffer their body to be put into the sepulchre. And they that dwell upon the earth rejoice over them, and are full of delight, and shall send gifts one to another, because these, the two prophets, tormented them that dwell upon the earth. And after the 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God came into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon those beholding them. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they went up to the heaven in the cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And in that hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth of the city fell, and 7,000 names of men were slain in the earthquake. And the remnant were filled with fear, and gave glory to the God of the heaven. This passage is related to the well-known Great Tribulation. It is the time which is of 2 years and 3 years and a half, which is indicated here as 42 months, and also 1,260 days. Now, this is a time that many of in the Christendom are saying that we will go through the great tribulation, and that we have to be prepared to this persecution, and as a consequence, they are no longer waiting for the Lord's coming. So it is, and we are obliged to argue very much against this opinion, and to argue that we will not go through the great tribulation. So then, why is it that this time, which is clearly a time that we will not go through, and nevertheless, it's a time of much interest for us, and which is given to us. And it is precisely a passage, a time where we have to search and to look for, to show what happened, and happened as we have read this afternoon, to see the suffering and the glory which are following the suffering. It's what we have here. So it is so this time of great tribulation, we recognize it because of the length which is given, and it is after the Lord's coming. Not how much time after. It is not clear how long it will be after the Lord's coming. But whatever the date, it is a very special time as a climax. Peak of mountain, and because it is showing to us the maximum of everything, maximum of the hate of the world against the testimony of God, maximum of the wickedness of the world, maximum of difficult time with no rain during all this time, maximum of violence. We see these even if an enemy try to do something bad against the prophets, they are killed by the fire. So it is a time which is very unique, and at the same time, it is very instructive to see that God at the worst possible time, God has chosen to have the weakest possible testimony. There is only two witnesses. There are several who are arguing that it is two groups of witnesses, not strictly two persons, but I don't see any strong reason to argue that way. Anyway, what remains is that there is a testimony, and it is a very important things, very very comfort, which is important to us to know as a certainty that there will be a testimony up to the end. The testimony is very weak, so several passages speak in the Bible of a test, uh, testimony of two or three persons, but there are not even the three, there are just two. The really the minimum. And this is part also, this is a part of the glory of God to act powerfully with instrument which are very weak. And this is very encouraging and very so even if people may be blind regarding the character of the time, we may be sure that God will keep his testimony. And we may hope always to be exercised regarding the testimony of God, and to exercise to have it done and supported by sufficient witness. Here again, there is the side of our responsibility. We have not to rest upon the promise that there will be a testimony anyway, and that we have not to care about who are the witness. It is the contrary. If we take into account the word of God, we will be, on the contrary, exercised to contribute to his testimony. Now, the testimony which is given here is not, of course, it's not the gospel of grace, because the testimony of which is given is that the power the witnesses have such a power that they may send fire out of their mouth to devour their enemy, and they can also shut the heaven so that no rain may fall. That's a strange testimony, maybe you will say, but it is an appropriate testimony when we are at a time of the worst action, the worst power of Satan. It is appropriate to have these two witnesses, the fire going out of the mouth. This speaks to us of the power of the word of God, and the rain which remind us of the time of Elijah, and a time where there is, it's like a reminding of that there is a creator, and that the God is the creator, and that God is given the rain and harvest. It is a testimony spoken by Paul in Acts 14, and a testimony to the Creator. So it's not the gospel of grace, but here again, it is important for us to understand that there is that the testimony may change of character according to the person we are in contact. This is very instructive. These witnesses, they are clothed in sackcloth, which means that they take a position of humility. Glorifying themselves or because of their power. No, they are taken clear humility, humble clothes. Now, this regarding the fire going out the mouth, it reminds us also that the enemy, we have chapter 13, they make the Antichrist is making an image of the beast, which is what you could call an artificial man, and he is the Antichrist is able to make the fire coming down from the heaven, but it comes down to the heaven, to the earth, not with Elijah. The fire came down to a sacrifice, but so it will be a miracle, but a miracle without positive effect. What is the end of this testimony? The end of this testimony is also very instructive, because we would think, well, the power of the Satan is awful. God has provided two witness and maintain a testimony, so it is proper that God will give the victory to this witness. And what happened is exactly the contrary, that God let the authority of that time to kill these witnesses, and even the way they are killed is very very specific. First of all, they are killed, it is say, in the great city, which is called spiritually Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. So the verse is very interesting, because we see for on one side is the character of Sodom, corruption, Egypt, oppression of the believer. So it is the character of the world has not changed from the old days of the Genesis, is the same, but the place is where their Lord was crucified. This question of detail is very impressive, because it is an indication for us that our line of conduct, our behavior, should be the same as the Lord. The Lord is a model, is a pattern. We have seen that in some previous meeting, and here they are similar. They are following the pattern of the Lord, even in the way they die. The way is to be crucified. The Lord was crucified, and they are killed in the place where the Lord is crucified. There is this aspect of their death. The other aspect of this expression is that the character of the world is not changing at all from the time where the Lord was crucified. So it is sometimes we give exhortation that we have not to follow the world and not to follow the seduction of the world. That is true, and these exhortations are good. But how is it possible to consider that the world is seducing, is attractive, when he is able only to crucify the Lord and to have the same character in the future, even after all the time of Christianism on the earth? So they are killed in this way, but there is a point where they are not as the Lord, is that the Lord was put in a grave, and for them, any grave was refused. Their body was put on the street, so it was really to give them shame and to put shame upon thee and to show their shame to everybody. It is precise that everybody in the earth see that, and today it is clear that it is not a problem that everybody in the world may see the thing happening. And then the resurrection of the Lord was not seen by the world. And here it's the contrary. The resurrection is seen, and is seen in a very impressive way. It is the manner of God, that God has chosen not simply to give them a victory. He has chosen to give them the most impressive victory, is that the resurrection. And resurrection, it is said that they remain 3 days and a half. And a half, maybe it's that as that the corruption had started, because it's the Lord is remain in the grave during 3 days, and there was no corruption. But so it is the most marvelous resurrection, the most marvelous victory, which happened. And this victory is visible, is seen. But it is seen when, I would say, it's too late to change the mind. The worst action has been done. The judgment, the world is worthy only of chastening judgment, and this is what will happen. Because it is also, we have spoken a lot of about faith this afternoon. But there is a character of faith, is that the faith is remaining up to the end, up to the maximum. And it is also a manner, a way that God is using often, is to make, to give the deliverance at the very end. Then, when it is clear that there are no issue, then God intervenes. It is, this is of God, and knowing that, this should strengthen our faith our faith shouldn't be weakened by the trial, but that we may be certain that God is giving the salvation at the end, and the faith for this reason is able to wait and to wait up to the end. So then, at that moment, it is said precisely that they went up to the even in the cloud. The Lord has ascended in a cloud, but after 40 days, he has not, he didn't go up to the earth, to the heaven immediately after the resurrection. And here, and it is precisely said here that their enemies beheld them. So, their enemies were contemplating the ruin of their effort and the full and marvelous victory of God at the end. And, well, it is, we may think to that and think, well, that's good, but our trial are still continuing. And we may hope for a marvelous victory, but this marvelous victory, there is no reason that it happened before the Lord's coming. Well, it's of no use to have reasoning. It's of no use to... What is important is to have this example, which are giving us the true character of God, which are giving us the knowledge that that God, even in such worst time, God is in control. God measures exactly the duration of the trial. Here it is 1,260 days. We have the same thing with Smyrna in Revelation 2, where the trial duration of trial is 10 days. It's the duration given by God, and God knows what is good and what is to be done. So we have to know that God is in control. We have to know that even if the trial may seem to be to go to the worst case, that's the death. In Smyrna, there is the comfort is given not that they will escape the death, but that they will escape the second death. So, as if the first death was not so much important, because anyway, we have a salvation of souls so and a full salvation. So God is giving the full salvation at the end, but a salvation in the way he has decided, in the way he thinks the most proper. And he does make things not in the way we are doing, and we know that what he is doing is with perfection and wisdom. So let us. I repeat again: this great tribulation is not for us, but it is most instructive to learn the detail of the time God was going is going to do the thing. It is most useful to consider the suffering and the glory and the quality of the testimony, and keeping in mind all this character and this instruction regarding the character of what God is going is working. Let us be more not only there is a comfort. Okay, this is important, but maybe it's not the most important thing. The most important thing is to understand the testimony of God, what God is doing as a testimony for a testimony, and to realize the character of the opposition between the testimony and the state of the world. So maybe more study the detail of what God is revealing.